Please be seated. So unless you've been asleep, you've picked up by now that we started Lent. Lent is a season when we focus on confession and repentance in order to prepare us to participate in the resurrection with more of our hearts and souls in it. But as we probably know, sometimes we assume that this season means that we need to be hanging our heads, feeling all guilty and morose, confessing that we are pond scum, lower than worms, not worthy, and so on. You know, I've shared with you in the past, I grew up in a little different denomination, and one year in third grade in Sunday school, first page of the new book in Sunday school, I opened it up, and it was all black. And in little white words across the bottom of the page, it said, "This is a picture of your soul." Ooh, yeah, that's kind of, it made my thighs clench. Okay. We assume that that's kind of the theme of Lent. That is so not what it's about. It's not the point, because we know how the story turns out. Spoiler alert, Christ rises from the dead on Easter. Oh, we heard that, okay? But even that, get this, even that is not the main point. The main point is not Easter. The main point is Good Friday. Jesus' suffering, sacrifice, and death for us. You see, Jesus' death was not to pay off God, assuming that God requires everybody's death as punishment for our sin. If that was so, that cast God as a mean, vengeful ogre who can't wait to smite us for every nasty thing we do. And we assume then sometimes, well, if the sacrifice is not to God, it must be to Satan, right? Well, Jesus' sacrifice is not to Satan or the devil either. We tend to ascribe all kinds of power to the devil that he doesn't have. The truth is, the only power he's got is the power to tempt. You and I, we do the heavy lifting for him. So if Jesus' sacrifice is not to God and it's not to Satan, who's left? Well, we are. In his suffering and sacrifice, Jesus effectively tells us, give me your best shot. Hate me. Deny me. Spit on me, whip me, kill me if you think that's going to change anything. But there is nothing. There is nothing that is going to make me stop loving you. That is Jesus' sacrifice for us and to us. So having made that sacrifice, do you suppose that Jesus wants us to walk around hanging our heads in gloom and misery, looking glum and dark, hanging our heads like so many Eeyores? So many of the Pooh. Eeyore, remember him? Yeah. No, Jesus' sacrifice is for forgiveness. It's for freedom. Freedom from fear, freedom from dread and misery, and the assumption that God's going to get you. Now, this does not mean that we should take what Jesus has done lightly. Far from it. Instead, what it means is we get to walk into it and own it with our eyes wide open. You see, it is precisely because of Jesus' sacrifice that we can confess our sins and our sinfulness. And we can do it boldly and completely, holding nothing back, because we also have a promise of forgiveness. We can confess without worry or fear. We don't need to hide a thing, not a thing. Now, here's the catch. If we don't confess, then God's promise of forgiveness is not going to mean much. We'll just expect it, demand it, take it for granted, and that is how we make it cheap and meaningless. Confession is a way that we get to free ourselves of the dark stuff we drag with us, the things we regret, the ways we find out sometimes to our horror or our embarrassment that we have hurt somebody, especially those we love. Well, sometimes it's purely accidental. I was playing with the grandkids the other day. They're almost 4 and almost 2. They are playing hide and seek. Good game. You should try it sometime. They invented this, okay? And Izzy, who's 2, she and I are looking for Brady, who's 4. And he was hiding, surprise, surprise, behind a couch. And we're looking over the back of the couch. And I was going to turn around and find Izzy so she could find him. And I turned around and hit her square in the face with my elbow. And knocked her onto the floor, onto her fortunately well-padded bottom. I felt awful. I felt just awful because Grandpa hurt her. Of course, there are other ways we hurt people even more deeply. Not just accidental bops in the noses, but words, and words still matter, by the way, words that cut somebody to the heart, leave them devastated, or meanness, greed, selfishness toward others that leaves them suffering. And we often assume that the opposite of love is hate or violence, but that's not true. The opposite of love is apathy, indifference, where we turn a blind eye toward others or we treat them like they're made out of cellophane and we just look right through them. We don't need to hate other people to hurt them. All we need to do is ignore them. The list goes on. So yes, confession is good. It's a way that we get to remove the junk that gets in the way of living free. But confession alone is not the end. If we stop with confession, then we will feel guilty and hopeless because that list of all the stuff we've done wrong, it's right in our faces. That's why we move to repentance. Now, to be clear, repentance is not simply a set of ritual words we recite or some kind of religious actions we go through. Well, repentance is the intentional choice to try to undo the impact of our sin and our sinfulness. Do you see why confession is so important? It gives us direction for where we should put our energy, where the shadow of our sinfulness is felt the most. It directs our actions in the right way. So our focus is on naming what we have done, how we have dropped the ball, how we have hurt others, and then we move on to do our best to try to undo it. So this year in Lent, we live in tension between our two Lenten songs, forgiveness and I refuse. Some of the words of I refuse say, I refuse to just say an empty prayer. This world needs God. I don't want to live like I don't care. That's our challenge. Our challenge is to refuse to sell out, to refuse to be defined by the self-seeking, all-about-me ways of the world, and to dare to live like forgiven people, because we are. Choosing active repentance is not something we do in order to earn brownie points with God. Active repentance is how we get to feel what God's promise is like as it lives in us and it flows through us. Now, we all know how easy it is to become jaded and skeptical, to point out all the things that are bad and wrong and not working. We know that it's easy to look away, to get all wrapped up in our own lives, come home at night, close the garage door, do laundry. Anybody can do that. The harder thing is to work to resolve it, to bring healing and hope, forgiveness and new life to all the places where the culture of death has broken in. Jesus calls us to refuse, but not in a negative way. Instead, it is refusing to settle, refusing to stand idly by, refusing to be indifferent, refusing to not care. We start with those we know we have hurt with an apology and a resolve to live differently going forward. And then we commit to doing positive, loving, life-giving things. And when God is at work in us, amazing things happen. Things that don't look religious or, to the point, holy, suddenly become holy things. Peanut butter and jelly in our windows. Who knew? Who knew peanut butter and jelly would be a holy thing? But it is a way that we get to impact and do positive, loving things. Or tonight, gathering the fishers, hunters, and other liars for the wild game dinner. Taking all these manly treats, our venison and pheasant and fish, and using that to raise money to feed hungry people. That's a holy thing. That is what repentance looks like. Repentance looks like making sure to apologize to those we have hurt. It looks like making sure we are patient with those we are tempted to be impatient with us. Be the different God wants. Refuse. Refuse to settle. Refuse to be apathetic. Refuse to be mired in guilt and choose to live in forgiveness and freedom and new life. God is at work in the world through you. Our second reading today in James is what we heard. Be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. If we do nothing, it's going to feel like God is silent. I don't know about you, but I've come to know God has a pretty loud voice.